Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I want to finish my study of two different era heretics who operated in the same church. One is still presently operating there, and that's Marianne Williamson. And the church is the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. We've already studied, as I say, Marianne Williamson. And the second individual, of course, is the former pastor, the deceased pastor, Norman Vincent Peale. Now, I was reading last week from the Watchman Fellowship's article on, it's actually called a profile, on Norman Vincent Peale. And I want to finish out that article. It says, in a recent interview with Beth Ann Creer of the LA Times, of course, this has been quite a few years ago, Peale said, I don't know much about that New Age business. I have received critical letters that I belong to the New Age. I've got to look into it and see what it is. But anything that develops legitimate, positive thinking principles, I'm for it, he says. And indeed he was. He was in, you know, very much for New Age type occultic activity, regardless of how it may have been labeled. Last week, as you may recall, I mentioned several books that Norman Vincent Peale had endorsed. And tonight I want to take a closer look at two of them. One, and I mentioned these two last week among the others. One is Explore Your Own Inner Self by Walter Cronk, not to be confused with Walter Cronkite. And two, The Dead Are Alive by Harold Sherman. In the introduction to the first book, Peale says that I welcome this new and thoughtful book by my longtime friend Colonel Walter Cronk. Says his scholarship in the field of psychic phenomena reflects painstaking research and an astute grasp of true facts inherent in this area of exploration and experimentation. Colonel Cronk's emphasis upon looking within and the amazing revelations of the knowledge of the inner life, hitherto hardly explored at all by spiritual teachers within the churches, opens up exciting new possibilities of spiritual growth. When the supernatural was stressed in previous generations, the growth of the church was phenomenal. Now that all the other worldly search for truth has been all but abandoned in favor of social change, the falling away from historic Christianity reflects significantly upon this attitude. Well, speaking of falling away from Christian historic Christianity, that's what Peale was all about. Perhaps he wasn't totally convinced of that. Anyway, the preface to the book, the author says, we are entering the age of Aquarius, which will usher in the expansion of spiritual awareness and cosmic consciousness. The intense material drive of the West, although bringing physical comforts of every description, has left a void. Modern communication has made it possible for our youth to learn more of the spiritual values considered essential in the Far East. Spreading like wildfire is the joy found in transcendental meditation. Wow. It is time Christians realize that this is what Jesus meant when he said, we must look within. And then further down the page, he says, it causes one to do what the Bible says is necessary to find the kingdom of heaven, to look within. The kingdom of heaven is within. And of course, that's a misinterpretation. Jesus, when he said the kingdom is within, actually it's better translated, the kingdom is among you, because the king was here on earth. And so those that were in his midst, the disciples, the kingdom was among them because of him. It wasn't some, you know, esoteric inner exploration that wherein we would find the kingdom of heaven. Now, the next book, well, no, actually the table of contents, before I forget, because this is fascinating, couple other things. Now, there is a chapter entitled There Is No Death, and we'll just take a glance at that in a minute. And then one chapter is called Psychics I Have Known, and one of them, of course, is Harold Sherman. So Walter Cronk also knew Harold Sherman, just as Peale did, who he endorsed several of Sherman's books. And then another name which you may or may not be aware of is the Reverend Arthur Ford. And he was, of course, involved in the Bishop Pike escapade, where Bishop Pike thought he was being contacted from the dead by his son, by his dead son, when in reality he was being spiritually seduced by a demon. And then another chapter is on precognition. Now, just a few words about the chapter, There Is No Death. This author says, the out-of-body experience is most convincing to illustrate the fact that we all have a physical body as well as an astral or spiritual body. So we can prove that by having an out-of-body experience. A recent book, Life After Life, by Raymond Moody, MD, which I recommend to any researcher, carries quite a list of case histories of life after death. They parallel completely similar data I have accumulated from various persons while under deep hypnosis. And of course, that's that altered state of consciousness and hypnosis where deceiving spirits can work best in painting pictures in one's mind. And in the so-called near-death experience that Moody investigated, this was enough proof. These experiences proved to these people that there was no real death, which of course is contrary to what God's word tells us, because of the fall, particularly, of mankind. He says, I can accept it because on several occasions I've had the same type of experience without having been pronounced dead. So this man's experiences convinced him. And this is a book, of course, that Peale would have endorsed and wanted people to read. Now, Sherman's book, The Dead Are Alive, again, I mentioned this last week, but Peale says it's a masterpiece, could be the greatest of all Sherman's great books. I hope it will be widely read. And I want to look at just a couple of quotes from this book, page 168 and 169. it says that there's no death, only transformation. That's page 168. That's just a little grabbing headline there. And then on the next page, it says, if we truly accept the continuity of life, then there is no death, only transformation. If we truly accept the unity of all being, then there is no separation with death, only a different mode of living and a different mode of communication. I understand that the loss of communication may be the main source of regret, the major sense of loss in the death of a loved one. In the next or the next pages that I want to look at, pages 18 and 19, I'll just read it. It says, it is apparent that the pioneering long-distance telepathic experiments between a man named Wilkins and myself, confirmed some 35 years later by astronaut Edgar Mitchell, established the fact that communication has been conclusively proved from mind to mind, regardless of distance. And then he goes on to mention Ingo Swann. Ingo Swann, of course, was a remote viewer that was involved, I believe, in the CIA program of psychic spying. I've actually read a lot about Ingo Swann, and he obviously was no Christian, but he believed in the powers of the mind and psychic abilities and such things. Now, on the next page, it says, in any event, assuming that survival after death is an accepted fact, we now know enough about human consciousness and its unlimited potentiality to be convinced that it is only a matter of time before mind-to-mind communication will be demonstrably possible between beings from higher dimensions of existence or from intelligences on other planets, or might I add, with demons pretending to be from other planets or higher dimensions, which is actually the reality of the situation. Now, I have also, and this is very interesting here, that Norman Vincent Peale's experience of life after death, and proof of life after death, as the name of this article is, or actually that there is no real death would be a better subtitle, I guess. And in this National Enquirer article from some time ago, and I used to not believe anything in the National Enquirer, but I'll tell you, this goes along with everything else that you can, you know, as you study and research Peale, you'll see that this can be substantiated, what's being said here. But anyway, in fact, this article is by Norman Vincent Peale in the Enquirer. He talks about two incredible experiences and a stunning spiritual message, all from beyond the grave, have absolutely convinced me that there is life after death. I have seen visions of my father and brother, and I have received a message from my mother. These three incidents were the most startling revelations of my life. It says, they have confirmed my belief that there is life after death. Well, the Bible could confirm to him that there's life after death, but of course, his belief goes more down the occultic and spiritistic channels. He says, my first amazing message from beyond the grave happened in Asbury Park, New Jersey, some 35 years ago. And this involved his mother. And I can't take too much time for the details, but it says, my mother communicated with me very clearly. I was staggered and I started to weep. My only explanation to what happened that day is that my mother felt I needed some comfort and reassurance and chose to give it to me through her message from the other side. Very strange. My second life after death experience took place 10 years later, and it was even more staggering. And this, of course, involved his father, who was 85 when he died. But when I was seeing him as a youthful 40 to 45-year-old man, he was always a man's man. I was deeply moved. I became totally unconscious of the huge crowd that I was around. I must have stood up and walked to the edge of the platform and reached out to him. So he had this strange experience in an auditorium in Georgia. Then he goes on to say, my third haunting encounter, and that's a good word for it, isn't it, folks? My third haunting encounter occurred in the spring of 1970, just months after the death of my brother Bob, a physician. And I'm not going to take any more time. You can look this information up and, you know, you can read many of Peel's books and you'll see similar type things. But this is a direct confirmation to him that he made contact with his dead loved ones, something which God tells us won't happen and we shouldn't seek. It is necromancy, it's spiritism, and it is forbidden by God. It really reminds me, his experiences, as I said last week, kind of remind me of Bishop Pike and his so-called son, our deceiving spirit, who was pretending to be his son, impersonating Bishop Pike's son. Very similar, very deceptive, and a slice of occultic life that Norman Vincent Peale was actually promoting in his books. Now, he has a book, many books he wrote. This one is called Stay Alive All Your Life, and this one should have probably also been subtitled Because There Is No Death, you know? Stay Alive All Your Life Because There Is No Death, because essentially that's what he's saying. There's no real spiritual death. I guess, you know, well, it's because he's a universalist, as was pointed out in the article by the Watchman Fellowship folks. Now, I want to jump right in here. Live Forever, on page 219, he talks about my father and my brothers, Bob and Leonard, and I returned home after the funeral service of my mother. We felt, as do all families, a deep sense of loss and loneliness. And then on to page 220, he says, page 221, exciting scientific investigation is proceeding in the field of extrasensory perception, or ESP. Years ago, a number of eminent scientists began psychical research studies. Later still, others developed parapsychology. This study of the psyche or soul included those phenomena with which psychology did not deal. These scientists raised the question, is there a spiritual factor to men? Using the most exact methods, they examined precognition, the ability of the mind to see something which has not yet happened. Retrocognition, the ability to see again that which has happened in the past. And finally, clairvoyance and telepathy. He talks about this being scientifically, what is this point? After innumerable experiments, competent authorities have declared these findings sound from a mathematical point of view. That is, they occurred more times than the mathematical percentage of chance would justify. Such investigations seem to have come close to proving scientifically that there is an aspect to man distinctly of greater permanency than his physical attributes. I'm going to move ahead. Oh, well, here's another quote from page 222. And of course, if you can scientifically or make this appear scientific, people are much more readily, you know, willing to accept the occult and things they shouldn't get into if you can make it sound scientific. It says, all the world is in vibration, Einstein told us. Matter and energy are interchangeable, one and the same. This really sounds a lot like New Age UFO contactee type materials that I've read in the past. It says, the mere fact that we can no longer see our loved ones in the flesh does not at all mean that they are not alive. They still live in this dynamic, mysterious universe, even as we too shall live forever. Doesn't say anything about even as we too, if we've been born again and trusted in Christ who rose from the dead for us on our behalf if we receive him. But anyway, says, the day I received the news that my mother had died, I went to Marble Collegiate Church and sat in the pulpit. I did that because she had always told me, whenever you're in the pulpit, I will be with you. I wanted to feel her presence. Then I went into my study. On the table lies a Bible. It lay there that morning, and it has been there ever since. It is old and tattered, but that Bible will remain there as long as I am connected with the church, and then I will take it with me wherever I go. It's like a superstitious fetish, it sounds like. I never give a sermon that I do not first put my hand on that Bible. On that morning of her physical death, I placed my hand on the Bible in an instinctive desire for comfort, and I stood looking out toward Fifth Avenue when all of a sudden I distinctly felt two cupped hands, soft as eiderdown, resting gently on my head, and I had a feeling of inexpressible joy. I have always had a quiet, questioning mind, and even then I began to deal factually with this experience, reasoning that it was hallucination due to grief, but I did not believe my own attempt to reason it away. Then the idea dawned that I should lift my thinking to the spiritual level and realize that in this dynamic universe that we call death is but the change in form of deathless spirit. From that moment, I never doubted my mother's spiritual aliveness. Well, how about the Bible's promises? That might be a good place to look for, trust about the afterlife. Anyway, the next page I want to read from is 226. And here he's talking about when a baby is born and leaves the womb. To him, he says that's like a baby's, we see a baby's birth as a birth, but he's saying to the baby, it could be like a death because it's leaving a nice comfortable area and going to an unknown spot. That's what he's saying. So then he goes, then comes that final moment when he dies, as we call it. But who are we to say that it is not simply another birth? What will happen to him when this change takes place? All of a sudden, he is young again and surrounded by love and beauty. Twice he died and twice he was born. And of course, now he's talking about what happens to an adult when they die. Now, but I love this saying that I heard recently. I was reminded of recently. But if we are born only once, we will die twice. That is, we will die physically and spiritually in the lake of fire. But if we are born twice, that is, if we're born into this life and then born again, by trusting in Christ, then we will die only once. I love that. We are born only once, we will die twice. If we're born twice, we will die once. Anyway, I would use that rather than Peale's wisdom there. He talked with Mrs. Thomas Edison. I don't think I have the time to spend much with this, but a lot of people don't realize that Edison's parents actually were involved in spiritism. Edison himself was trying to perfect, believe it or not, a telephone to get in contact with the other side. You probably haven't heard a whole lot about that because that's probably not something the family would have wanted a lot of people to hear about because they might have thought it was too foolish or what have you. But anyway, Peale got around. He talked to a lot of different people. okay. This is in this section that I'm reading from really about Peale's view of life and particularly death, the fact there's no death. It says, develop deep confidence in the eternal future of your own life and that of your loved ones. Keep believing until you know with certainty that you are an ever alive and deathless part of a dynamic universe. Learn to know that faith in immortality is completely reliable and absolutely true. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Well, that's good advice as long as you're reading it and not misinterpreting it or twisting it. In the deathless faith that it teaches. Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha, and she said, yes, I know I'm going to live, in the next life eternally. Of course, Jesus was saying, no, I'm going to raise your brother from the dead. But the point is, the scripture, Jesus promised us eternal life. We don't need all these techniques and experiences and all these different things that Peale would promote. Anyway, learn to know not only by your mind but by the intuitive perception of the spirit that the great assumptions of continuing life are true. Now, I also, I love this old saying. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but like I said, you know, don't twist the scripture, but obey it like Paul the Apostle. And Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God, not being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And then I love this quote. You may have heard this. Frankly, comparing the teachings of Norman Vincent Peale with those of the Apostle Paul, we find Peale appalling and Paul appealing. And I really do, too. Sad to say, Paul and Peale were on completely different pages, okay, for real. Now, in the rest of this book, Stay Alive All Your Life, I want to just look at some of the various assorted quotes from this book showing similarities to the New Age movement and his views. And I will be moving quickly. One page he says, developing an instinctively enthusiastic outlook begins with a positive affirmation. Now, that's a good New Age type term. Enthusiasm is a factor in the vibratory pattern of life. Since the universe is in vibration, it is important to be in harmony with the vibrations that come from God. I don't read about anything like that in the Bible. So, to have enthusiasm, affirm and believe as you affirm, I am now in harmony with the spiritual vibrations that flow from Almighty God. Another quote. But by living in harmonious rhythm, you reduce stress and automatically renew energy and vitality. And then he quotes Emerson, who was a transcendentalist, who certainly didn't believe in the Bible. I won't read that quote. And then he talks about, well, I don't want to read that one either. he's talking about a man named Mr. Townsend. It said he voiced aloud the following creative affirmations. I breathe in pure, beautiful, positive thoughts of God and Jesus Christ, which entirely fill my conscious and superconscious mind, blah, yada, yada, yada. Don't have much time for that. Moving right along. The following daily affirmation has proved helpful. God's rightness is now flowing into my mind. See, this is all man-made philosophies and New Age ideas and things that he's mixing in, and occultism, pure and simple, with his Bible scriptures. Now, here he talks, accordingly, in Bible Collegiate Church, moments of directed creative quietness are observed during services. Suggestions are offered by the minister of the most effective manner in which to relax the body and induce a state of quiet receptivity in the mind. Which, by the way, passivity of the mind is a great way for seducing spirits to work. He quotes Psalm 46:10, which is a contemplative prayer. Favorite verse to quote. And then he talks about an experience with a man who has a real spiritual experience, and they described it to him, and it turned out that he was associated with Bill Wilson, who, it turns out, of course, was the same Bill Wilson that was the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't have time to tell you about this man's experience that Peale talks about in glowing terms, because I want to share right now a little segue to a booklet called The Spiritual Truth Behind Alcoholics Anonymous by John Lanigan. And this is put out by Lighthouse Trails Publishing. It's a little booklet. And in it, it says The Spiritual Truth Behind Alcoholics Anonymous. It talks about how one man wrote that, describing AA's higher power, the alcoholic may choose to think of his inner self, the miracle of growth, a tree, man's wonderment at the physical universe, the structure of the atom, or mere mathematical infinity. Whatever form is visualized, the neophyte is taught that he must rely on it in his own way, to pray to the power for strength. It's really God without doctrine. And I want to recommend that booklet to you, because I don't have the time really to share all that I would have liked to have shared. But some of the influences on Alcoholics Anonymous was the Oxford Group. T.A. McMahon of the Brian Call Ministry talks about Bill Wilson's, he received the details of the 12 steps through spirit dictation. There's a quote of it from H.A. Ironside also about how they would empty their mind to get in touch with the various spirits. Talks about a Ouija board. That Wilson talked about his experience with the Ouija board, the Emmett Fox and the New Thought movement, and we've talked a lot about both Peale and Schuller and the New Thought cults. the mind science cults, etc. So it's there's more I'd love to read to you, but I just want to recommend that booklet, and you can read it for yourself. Now, back to Stay Alive All Your Life. He makes the comment, God evidently attaches great value to science. And of course, in that booklet I was just talking about, they talk about the unbiblical Eastern meditation type experiences that many people get into, including contemplative prayer. And, what is meant by the term anti-biblical meditative practices refers to Eastern and New Age meditation, but also to contemplative prayer or contemplative prayer. And this is from Peel's book. He says, God evidently attaches great value to silence. Of course, that's part of the contemplative prayer thing, silence. And my thought on that was, yeah, that's why he created thunderstorms, because he put such great value on silence. I mean, I think God likes noises too. But anyway, I digress. It says, great insight is stated in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. That is to say, make room for silence in your life. So, this is the thing with Peel. He was on the cutting edge of a lot of things, including contemplative prayer, which is so popular now. He says, one method I employed is to use the words, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. And, be still my muscles and know God's relaxation. Be still my nerves and know God's. Anyway, if you've listened to my program before, you know that that passage is taken out of context. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about God comforting people in the midst of crises from enemies and such. Now, with the remainder of time that I have, and I don't have a lot, I want to recommend an article I saw recently. It's called Contemplative Founders Meeting with Young Contemplative Leaders. And again, don't have time to read it, but you can check it out for yourself if you're so interested. It's from the Religion Press Release Service. And then I talked some time ago about the Presbyterian Church USA. I had visited one of their churches, and they had, I never got around to speaking about it, but they have a little devotional called These Days. And in this little booklet, they have several references to contemplative prayer. And they say suggestions for using this. Watch for a word or phrase in the Bible that arrests your attention. On this word or phrase, meditate on this word or phrase, or just sit quietly, breathing deeply and gently. And so you take this devotional and you go through it. And I have, if I have the time, on page 15, they talk about the silence. Come into the silence and look at the places in your life. So I guess my point is, and I don't have time to read a little bit more from that like I'd like to, but the point is, this movement, time and time again, we see this Catholic mysticism from the 300 AD and the Desert Fathers showing up in cults, liberal churches, and unfortunately, more and more in evangelical churches that should know better.